couple things. One, remember this morning we mentioned about how the men are going south. Larry, would you mind filling us in? You're leaving tomorrow?
Jim and I are leaving Tuesday morning.
Tuesday. Okay. What's going to happen?
The crew will leave on Thursday morning. Jim and I will be there Wednesday, they'll be there Friday.
Are you driving down Tuesday?
I'm leaving with Tim on Tuesday.
Tim's driving?
Tim's driving.
Okay.
We'll share. And hopefully see the job sites, get things organized and planned out, and not have quite as much as we had last year.
Chaos, yeah.
Chaos in the beginning. Mm-hmm. The rest of the crew will be there on Friday. The job doesn't really start till Monday, but we'll have Saturday to get everything organized. Mm-hmm. Worship on Sunday and start work on Monday.
Very good. So obviously we want to pray for their safety. Let's pray for their fellowship too. So the opportunity for guys from across the country to be together down there. And that is always a good time of fellowship. Let's pray for their families that are left behind. All of that would go well. We want to pray for them. Also, we were praying this morning for a missionary in Africa. This evening, I think it's good for us to pray for a missionary that we were going to pick up in January named Don Donnell. Pastor Laspina was sharing with us before the service that it looks like he's not going back immediately. Remember, he was the one that came back after there had been a break-in at his home. His wife was wakened out of sleep with a knife at her throat. There had been murders in the neighborhood and a number of break-ins. And the trauma was such that they came home for a while. Looks like they're going to stay for a while, at any rate. And so we want to pray for that family, the transitions and the uprootings of things. That ministry had been, we had been receiving such amazing and encouraging reports about that ministry down in Argentina. We're going to have to place this in God's hands. But let's pray for the Donnell family, and let's pray for the work in Argentina. Now, is there anything pressing that you want us to pray for tonight as a body as we come before the Lord's table tonight?
I think it would be good to pray for the Don family. James went back today.
Okay, pray for the Bond family and the loss that they have incurred. James went back to West Point today, and pray for him and for his brother and sister. Donna?
Stephen's grandmother, who's been in a nursing home for quite a long time, has finally died, and her family is going to have a memorial service at some point, which I'm not quite sure when that's going to be because she was cremated. And this particular death will bring everybody in the family together, and it could be interesting. It's the best I could say.
Okay. We pray for the superintendence of the Holy Spirit. Very good. Somebody else is waving at me. Okay, let's take these things to prayer. Chuck, can I get you to lead us, and then I'll follow after you, okay?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come before your throne of grace, thankful for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that our righteousness does not rest upon anything that we do, but all that you have done. We do pray, Father, for us as we travel down to Mississippi. Lord God, I pray that you guard our hearts and our minds so that we might enjoy the fellowship of other brothers in Christ. Lord God, we are amazed at how quickly the time has passed. It seems like just last week we were down there, Father, and yet a year has already passed. We pray, Father, for safety as we travel. We pray, Lord God, for encouragement by the Holy Spirit as we fellowship together. Lord God, may you be pleased to use us as instruments in your hand to help those who are less fortunate than we. We pray, Father, that you be with our families as we spend time away from them. We pray, Lord God, that you guard and protect them as well, and that you might encourage them, Father, through your children. Lord, we think especially of the Bond family. Mm-hmm. What a difficult situation, Father. We can't even hardly get our heads around them. The difficulty they have, Lord. We can just only pray that you be pleased to draw near to them and comfort them in their loss. Father, that you might uphold them and draw near to them as only you can, Father. Lord God, we pray for Donna's request also for Steve's grandmother's passing. Lord, you know the situation there better than any one of us here in this room. We pray, Lord God, that you might do miraculous works there. As they gather together for a memorial service, Father, we know not the eternal state of this world. But we know, Father, that you are fully aware of all that goes on. We thank you that you are such a God, Father, that nothing escapes your gaze.
Amen.
That you are in charge of all things. That you hold the universe within your hands, Father. You are a mighty and glorious God, worthy to be praised and honored. We thank you, Father, for this time of fellowship where we can spend around the table. We pray, Lord God, that we might not leave here as we've entered here, but that we might go out into the world boldly proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior. May we never, ever be ashamed of the gospel of our great and mighty God.
Amen.
And we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Our Father, we are grateful to you that you would condescend to encourage us to come into your presence and to teach us how passionately you love your people and how your longings and your desires and your jealous yearnings of your spirit are for our hearts, that you would reign supremely and sovereignly over them. We thank you that you care about us, and we are thankful to you to see that your work progresses in the lives and minds of so many. We are grateful that you have not abandoned our generation. We're thankful that you remain faithful and that you continue to pour out mercy and grace upon this people. We pray for our land. We ask you, our God, during these times of such upheaval, such uncertainty, such transition, that in these days men would be taught not to forget you, and that there would be the power of the Holy Spirit resting on your gospel in our generation. We ask that it would again be glorified and have free course to run among us. And we pray that you would call many to Jesus Christ in our land. We ask that you would be as well with what goes on this coming week and in the foreseeable future for us. We pray for our brothers as they go down. We ask for safety for them. Tim and Larry, as they go first and prepare the way, we pray that you would give effectiveness to their labors, wisdom and insight, and they would have a grasp of situations that they see. We pray that much good would be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that in very practical ways, people would be able to understand that there is a love for them that they have not yet grasped. And we pray that you would use this in the lives of many. We pray especially that you use it in the lives of our men. We ask that your grace would meet them as they sacrifice and as they go way out of their way. For you've taught us in your word that we have been created in Christ unto good works. And we thank you for the opportunities, and we thank you for the willing hearts, and we thank you for the gifts that you have given to the congregation, that the number could go. We ask that you would keep them safe as they drive. We pray that you would fill their cars with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that you would see their heart's attitude and their conversations, and that you would be pleased, that you would restore them to us. We pray that you'd keep their families, Lord, as well. That you would guard and protect them as you are the great wall of fire around your people. We ask that you would provide all things that are good for your children, even as you promised. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of the Lord's Supper. And we thank you for the opportunity of the remembrance of your death. We want to lift up to you the Donnell family in the midst of the difficulties that they face right now. We don't pretend to understand the ordeal that ripped through especially Mrs. Donnell's emotions. We ask you, our God, that you would draw near to her with power and with grace. We thank you for the heart of the church at Taylor's that you have given to oversee their mission. We pray that you would help those in that congregation, the elders and the people, to lift up the brother and sister and help during this time. Imagine that there is tremendous disappointment that is involved here. And we pray that you would be in particular with Bob Self as our brother ministers to them, that he would have your mind and your heart, that you would give him grace. We thank you for him, for his gifts and the heart that you've put inside of him. We pray for the work in Argentina. Lord, you know all the people that have been reached with the truth of the gospel, and you know the men that have been challenged with the truths of the Reformation. And we ask that you would undertake for that situation, for no man is indispensable in your program. Nothing depends on the course of men. All things depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. And how often have we seen people taken out of the way just so that you could raise up from unexpected quarters men to fill that gap? And we pray that you would do so in Argentina. And we ask that that area and that region that has been faithfully hearing the gospel now for these past years that they would still continue to hear the gospel, that you'd have mercy on those people and continue to light the light in that darkness there. We pray for the spread of the gospel worldwide. If ever there is a Christ and a Savior that deserves to be honored, it's the one that we remember tonight. Lord, we ask you, continue to help us to adore you the way you deserve, to give ourselves the way you gave yourself. And we pray that what you accomplished when you died would be realized in our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles for just a second. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. You remember why Paul was so concerned about the divisions in the Corinthian church, and that was because there was enough of them. There was a faction of those who looked at themselves as not being up to the standards of others. They didn't have the same gifts that others, and they jealously envied what God's Spirit did in somebody else. And they looked at themselves as being inferior and unnecessary. And then there was that other band of people who had public gifts, and they were in the limelight all the time, and they looked at themselves as being superior, and they looked down on others, and there was these attitudes of pride that were going back and forth in the congregation. Paul spends about the first three chapters of Corinthians dealing with the issue of divisions. And he, in the midst of all of that, gives us the secret, if you can call it a secret, for how to overcome those kinds of attitudes of pride and of suspicion, and how to bind the body of Christ together. And it's with a certain philosophy of life that he gives, and it's what we remember here tonight. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear, and much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that's his philosophy of life. That's what he lays on them as the answer to schismatic churches and divided relationships. He came to know nothing among them except for Christ and Christ crucified. And that became not just the gospel by which their sins were forgiven and their souls were saved for heaven, but that became the philosophy by which they were to live. They were to repeat and imitate the crucifixion of Christ. They were to pick up the same attitude that Jesus had. Jesus walked among men on earth as the preeminent example of somebody who gave himself entirely to God. He didn't want anything from anybody. He didn't demand respect from the world. He didn't demand to be loved. He didn't ask for anybody's money. He didn't ask for their honor. He didn't ask to be adored because of his great powers or abilities. He walked among people with this philosophy that he would carry a cross and that he would go to the place of sacrifice and he would lose himself entirely. And he calls his disciples to the same philosophy. It's not just a doctrine. It's a way of life. That every day we are called to pick up our cross, to die to ourselves, and to live to the glory of Jesus Christ. When that philosophy is embraced, there's no room for divisions. There's no room for pride. Everything that we would be proud of has been given to us by sheer grace, by the gifts of Christ. Everything that would make us ashamed of a brother or sister has been bought by the blood of Christ and washed away. And who are we to look down upon somebody for whom Christ died? The philosophy of Christ crucified is the way a humble Christian ought to walk in this world. We come tonight before the table of the Lord, not just to go through a ritual, but by faith to enter into the power of it, to repeat it, to leave this place, bearing our cross, being sincere disciples of Christ, and putting into practice the very attitude and the mind of Jesus Christ. A couple Sunday nights ago, we were looking at Philippians, where that passage goes on and he encourages us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he talked to us about the Christmas story. He introduced that with saying, "Let not every man look on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." He said, "Let each esteem others better than themselves." And in doing that, we imitate the incarnation. The same message carries through all the way to the crucifixion. When we come before the table of the Lord, what he died, he showed us a philosophy of life. We come here to pick up that philosophy and carry it out. If you are here in stubbornness and in pride, how can you stand before the cross of Christ in such a way? How can there be any self-centeredness, self-love, self-commitment before the cross of Christ? It all gets washed away here. When that becomes real, the Church of Christ becomes a powerful demonstration of the gospel. It becomes the issue that the world is confronted with. The world didn't know how to deal with a crucified Savior. The world doesn't know how to deal with crucified Christians and real people who carry this around with them. Let's go to God in prayer and prepare our hearts for this, shall we? Our Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd make it live in our lives. In faith, we give ourselves to you. We put the case of our eternal destiny in the hands of an able Savior. We collapse ourselves on him, believing that he is sufficient to carry us to your very presence and to secure us forever. We do that. Lord, we also pick up his mission and his way of life. And we ask that you would perfect us in sanctification and bring us to maturity. We pray that you would not leave us as you found us when we first were brought here. Again, by your grace and by your hand and in your providence, we're here because of you. And we ask that you'd not let us leave the same way as when we came. We pray you, our God, that you would lay very much upon our conscience that when we eat and when we drink, this is to get inside of us. We ask you, Father, that through us you would reach out to others who need the salvation of Christ. Don't let us hold ourselves back in reserve. Don't let us spare our strength. Don't let us keep part of ourselves. Help us to give it all to you, even as Christ gave himself for us. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Gentlemen, would you come at this point? Bible says the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, gave it to his disciples. He said, take it, eat it. This is my body, which is for you. Wouldn't it have been interesting, children, to stand there, the Last Supper, to see Jesus Christ before he died, to be able to look him in the eye, and when he offered that, to have the knowledge that we have now about what he was saying, that he was going to give that body that had spoken the word of God, that had touched those disciples, that had ministered such compassion and such grace to people, that he was going to give that body to bear on it the wrath of God and to suffer the torture and the torment that is fitting for somebody who carries the sins of people. When he gave his body, he gave all that he had. The entirety of his humanity was laid out in sacrifice to God as a substitute. And he used those words, this is my body, which is for you. Let's eat this together in acceptance. Turn with me to number 691. 691, in honor of the work of the Lord.
Share this book, this cup, this
After supper, he took the cup, blessed it, and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, shed for many for the remission of sin." And by the shedding of that blood of sacrifice, an absolute forgiveness was purchased for all of his people, for all of their sins. It's one of the things I love about that hymn we just sang. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Everything we've ever done, every failure we've ever committed, every corruption that we will ever present before him, the whole of it is nailed to the cross, and we bear it no more. The forgiveness is pure. It is perfect. It satisfies the eternal law of God. It is clean, and it will rise and meet us at the judgment seat. If it's yours, let's drink this together. Number 460. Stand with me.
Thank you.
Jeremy, close us in prayer, please.
Share your good news with others. Let us be aware of your
glory. Amen. We are dismissed.